Proverbs chapter number 11, very familiar verse today. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for life itself. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, opportunity once again to come together in your house and to study your word. Father, I pray today as we open your word now, the Spirit of God will be our teacher. He will lead us and guide us in all we do today and all we say. Thank you for those, Lord, that are here today, those that have been sick or better. We thank you for that. I pray you continue to heal their bodies and give them strength. Help those, Lord, that are even out today because of sickness and various reasons. I pray, Lord, you would be with each one of them. And, Lord, encourage them. Lord, encourage your people today, Lord, as we look at this subject of witnessing and soul winning. God, the most important thing we can do in our life as an individual, as a born-again child of God, is to tell somebody else about you. And, God, I just pray you'd help us, Lord, with this subject today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Proverbs chapter 11, make it verse number 30, very familiar verse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a true life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Would you sit with me, please? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. How important is soul winning? How important is soul winning in our lives today? You know, this was written probably close to 3,000 years ago. And it's been this way all the way. Winning souls has always been important to God. Because that's why Jesus come, right? He come to seek and to save that which was lost. So how important is soul winning? It's very important. There's nothing that you can put above it. Nothing that you can put above soul winning. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. In other words, he that winneth souls is wise. We find in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, the promise here of God. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised eternal life before the world began. So we see that it's always been as far as God's concerned. We see that soul winning is very important. We know in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. We shall be witnesses, of course, throughout the world and to other parts of the world. So we see that soul winning is very important. Now, why is it so important to win souls? Why is it so important to win souls? You know, we live in a time in a world today that people, if they do something, they want to profit from them themselves, right? In other words, if I do something, I want to benefit myself, okay? Well, this is one thing here when we look at soul winning. Soul winning is a twofold thing. When we try to win people to Christ, talk to people about the Lord, it's so important for two reasons. First of all, it offers others eternal life. It offers someone else eternal life. This is very, very important. You know, don't you have friends, and we all do, and family, that we will love to see saved? Amen? We love to them to have eternal life. They don't right now, but they can if we witness to them and others will witness to them. This is why we witness, you see. First of all, to offer eternal life to those that are lost. And people that are lost don't understand their state, don't understand what's going to happen to them when they die. If they did, they would open their eyes and they would want to be saved. I mean, that's what happened to me. When I realized I was lost and I was going to die, if I died, go to hell, God revealed to me, hey, you need to be saved, you know? Therefore, if I called upon the Lord, and he saved me. So we see, this is the world we live in today. They are so busy, people are so busy, they don't even think about what's going to happen to them when they die. They're focused on today, now, living today, and what's going to happen today. So we see, first of all, it's so important to win souls, lead people to Christ, because it offers them eternal life. Secondly, it's important to win people to Christ because to us, it keeps us in touch with God. It keeps us close to God. You know, you can't, and I can't, talk to people every day about the Lord and not be close to God. Because, see, we're sharing with people who is close to us, who we're close to, that's God. You know, when we share God with people every day of our life, we're going to have a close connection with God, you see. And this is one of the keys to staying close to God, is to share the gospel with people every day of our life. So it's very important that we share the gospel to people and lead people to Christ, because people need eternal life, and we can have a close relationship with God when we are focusing on trying to tell people about Him, you see. So it's very, very important. Soul winning in the early church, we know, was very popular. Stephen, we know, he was a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, was he not? He was faithful in his life throughout the New Testament. And we see in Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, we see here Stephen, as he stood for Jesus in his life, when he was being stoned to death, we see that he looked up into heaven, and who did he see? He saw Jesus, what? Standing for him, you see. So we see that Stephen, he stood up for Jesus, and Jesus stood up for him. And that's a wonderful thing to know. We need to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will stand for us. We also see in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 31, we see Peter and John here. They're in jail for preaching the gospel. They've been there overnight. This is over 2,000 years ago. And we see here, the next morning, they were brought out to the authorities for questioning here in verses 5 through 7. And we see in verses 8 through 12 in Acts chapter 4, Peter's response to these men. He literally told them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name of heaven whereby man may be saved. They were not going to quit saying and preaching what they were preaching. He literally told them here, see. And so they were there in prison because of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They threatened them in verse 21, and they let them go. In verse number 29, we see that they prayed for boldness to witness, and God gave them boldness. Now, what is boldness? Boldness is simply courage to overcome the threats or the fears and do what we ought to do. You know, I believe with all my heart that winning people to Christ, knocking on doors, trying to talk to people about the Lord today, is one of the things that most Christians fear in their life. Talking to people about the Lord. Not knowing how they're going to respond to you. What they're going to say. What they're going to do to you. Because we live in a world today that is quick to trigger, isn't it? Things that they shouldn't do, they'll do it. And so we see sometimes there's fear, but we need boldness. We need boldness, and that boldness only comes from God. God will give us boldness. The church in Acts, they prayed for boldness, did they not? And what happened? God gave them boldness. They went out everywhere, scattered, preaching the gospel, you see. And we see that God heard their prayer, and God shook the place where Peter and John were here in jail. And they got out, you see. So we need boldness. We need boldness to witness, do we not? We need to realize that it's very important that we witness, and we need that boldness that only God can give us to witness. Now, how do we get boldness? First of all, we do like the early church did. We pray for it. We had to pray for it. We had to ask God to give us boldness in our lives. God says that if we ask, seek, and knock, he's going to answer, is it not? He's going to pray. We need to pray for boldness, you see. We need to look for opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. This will encourage us. This will encourage us. There are some people you can run into at a grocery store or wherever you may go, you know, in your long life, that will listen to you and talk to you. And you can give them a try. Look for opportunities, folks, to talk to people about the Lord. I'll promise you this. If you'll look for an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord, God will open a door for you to talk to somebody. I guarantee he'll do that. I found it evident in my life many, many times. So we need boldness. We need to pray for boldness. We need to look for opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. Do little things. Just pass out a tract first. You know, pass that aside. Listen, we as witnesses are not to be theologians. We're just simply to carry the message, what Jesus has done for us. he'll do for them. He'll save them. God saved me. God wants to save you. And tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Start where you are with little things. Like I said, passing out tracts. Passing out tracts. This is something that we all can do. Carry tracts with you everywhere you go and try to pass them out for the Lord, you see. Pray for boldness and ask God to help you. And ask God to help me too also. So it's very important, this thing about soul winning, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important thing that I can do in my life as a Christian is to tell somebody else about Jesus. The most important thing. People need to hear. People want to hear. People want to hear. And God help us as His children to do that. Now, it's very important that we soul win. But again, anything we do for ourselves, or anything we do for the Lord especially, we are to do it from our heart. We ought to do it from our heart. We see, the motive that we do things is very, very important. Why do you come to Sunday school? Why do you come to church? Why do we witness? Why do we read our Bible? Why do you go to work? Why do we do what we do? The motive that we do things is very, very important. And when it comes to soul winning, we need motives. We need pure motives of why we do it. We don't go out here and just talk to people about the Lord so they'll come to church, okay? That's not number one. We want them to come to church. But number one is we want them to get what? Saved. We want them to get saved, first of all. If people get saved, they'll have a desire to come to church, you see. And so we see our motive is very, very important. We need to make a decision. What is my motive in when I'm talking to this person about the Lord? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? We see Christ, our example. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, the Bible says, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to save the lost, did he not? He came. We see here, Christ, he went looking for the lost while he was here. His disciples, he called them, you know. We see he went looking for the lost. And when he found them, he saved them. And he promised them a home in eternity, you see. What are examples we have here of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our love for Christ should be the first motive in why we want to win people to Christ. We love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? We love Him, you see, very much. And because we love Him, we want to what? We want to glorify Him. We want to exalt Him in our life, every day of our life. So this should be the first motive in trying to witness for the Lord. Lord, you love me so much, I can't understand why you did, but I know you did. And I want to love you. And I want to glorify you in my life. And I know that you want me to tell somebody about you. Therefore, give me boldness to do it. Give me that boldness to do it, you see. So our love for Christ. Christ went looking for the lost. He saved them. We should go looking for the lost. We have other examples in the Word of God. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Motives. Why do we witness? Why do we try to tell people about the Lord? There's got to be a reason why. We know, first of all, we want to offer eternal life. And we know also we want to keep in close relationship with God when we do this. It'll help us if we'll do that. Now look in John chapter 4. Look at verse number 34. John 4:34, you know the course, what happened. Jesus had been with the woman at the well and all this and all that. In verse number 34, Jesus said to his disciples, after they got back from getting their food and all, and therefore said the disciples one to another, in verse 33, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" In other words, has Jesus ate anything? We've been out to eat. Now, has Jesus had anything to eat? And notice what Jesus said in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." To finish his work. We see here, what was Jesus' desire? His desire was to please his Father. To please his Father. He wanted to do the work that his Father had put him on earth to do. This was his intense desire. You know, someday soon, folks, listen, My work on earth is going to be over with. Your work on earth is going to be over with. The question is this: have we pleased the Lord while we were here? Have we done all we can do to try to tell others about Jesus Christ while we were here? That was Jesus' desire, to finish the work, what his Father has sent him to do. So we see the intense desire, again, to please his Father was Jesus. That's why he was here. It should be our desire to please our Father. And the only way we can please him is by trying to tell people about Jesus. This should be one of our motives. Our motives. We like to please people, don't you? Don't we? Don't you like to be pleased? We all do. Well, our Father in heaven, the way we can please him is try to talk to people about him and share the gospel with him. This is a good motive to have in talking to people about Jesus, you see. Realize, first of all, how much Christ loves us. Also, we want to glorify him. We want to please the Father. We want to please the Father. And then we see in verse number 35, Jesus said to these disciples, another motive for so winning. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We see the urgency of the time. Bringing in the harvest is very important. When the fields are ripe for harvest, that's the time to get the harvest, right? Being raised on the farm, I know. But the George, when the peas get ripe, you ain't got but a few weeks to get them, right? If you don't get them, they're gone, right? Well, like so, whenever it comes to the people in this world, I don't think the world's ever been so ripe as it's ripe today for harvest. I really don't. There are so many people that are lost, you know. And harvest is coming. It's going to soon be past. And those that are left behind are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The harvest is white. The harvest is great. The harvest is ready. It's time now for us as God's people to recognize we only got a little time to get the harvest in, because the harvest time is going to soon be over with. It's going to soon be over with, you see. So we see the urgency of the time. The time is today. The Bible says salvation today is what? Salvation is today. Today is the day of their salvation. For tomorrow is too late. It's too late tomorrow. So we see the urgency, how we need to have realize our time is running out. This should be a motive, a desire for us to want to do more and try to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when the right motive, when the right motive, it's amazing. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit leads us to the place we need to be to share the gospel with who God wants us to share it with. Have you ever been out visiting? Before you go out, pray, I hope you do, and ask God to direct you to where he wants you to go and give you the words to say to that person that you get a chance to talk to. And watch God work. Many times, not always, but many times, he will lead you and I to that individual that is waiting, literally waiting for somebody to talk to them. They may be hurting, they may be a Christian, they may have needs in their life, they may be a lost person, but God will lead us to that person if we'll ask him to, if we ask him to, you see, because of the urgency of the time we're living in. People today are hurting. Lost people need the Lord. God's people need encouragement. People are hurting everywhere. There's sickness, there's things going on in life every day, every day. You know, all these things that are happening in the news today, all these problems that we have, people shooting people and all this kind of stuff. I would that we could all understand it's not a gun problem. It's a people problem. It's a soul problem. It's a sin problem in people's lives, you see. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. This would help eliminate a lot of problems in this world today if people would just get saved. If we as God's children would have a burden that we ought to have for lost people in our community, in our world, because people need the Lord today, folks. They really do. They need the Lord. I need God's power in my life. We all, as God's children, need God's power. But people are lost. They need the Lord. They need the Lord in their lives, you see. It's our responsibility, folks. If I, as a Christian, don't tell somebody about the one who saved me, I'm accountable. We have a big responsibility, folks. We really do. Someone said, we are found to find another. We're found to find another. We are told to tell another. Amen? And we are one to win another as God's children, you see. We have work to do. We have a big job to do. But we have a big God to help us. We have a big God to help us, you see. So the motive of soul winning. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the hearts. In Psalm 139, verse number 1, the psalmist wrote this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God knows why I do what I do. Everything I do, why do I do it? The question is this, what is my motive? Why do I do what I do? You see, God help us to ask God to give us the right motive to soul win, to talk to people about the Lord. People need to hear that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. They need to know that. Also, now, how, as a soul winner, how can we be effective? How are we going to be effective? You know, this really concerns me. When you go out every week, and you try to talk to people about the Lord, and you don't see no results as far as people being saved, it concerns you. You get to thinking, Lord, what am I doing wrong? You know? You begin to pray, and God, give me what I need to say. You know, help me to be compassionate. Help me to be what I ought to be. And it begins to affect you because you're concerned about, hey, nobody's getting saved. I'm trying to do what I can do with God's help, but I see nothing happening, you see. But how can we really be effective in our life? You know, we have to realize, first of all, we can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. But we are to be channels to share the good news with people. And the way we do that, first of all, we have to be a faithful Christian. Be faithful Christian. If we're not a faithful Christian, we're not going to be a soul winner. I can tell you that. We need to be faithful. I mean, faithful Christian. I mean, not just a Christian at Sunday school on Sunday morning. Okay? Be a Christian tomorrow morning at work, throughout the week. Be a faithful Christian. Be a Christian all the time, no matter where you are. Look like, act like, dress like, talk like a Christian all the time. Be a faithful Christian, you see. This is so important to be an effective soul winner. We have to be a faithful Christian. Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Just follow me. Follow me. We also see a spiritual Christian will always want to win souls. They have souls on their mind. Someone that is close to God is going to have souls on their mind all the time, all the time. I wonder if that person is saved. That person in the grocery store. I need to pass out this tract. You know, I need to do something to try to make a contact and tell somebody about Jesus, he said, all the time. A spiritual Christian. Not only do we need to be a faithful Christian, we also need to be a filled Christian. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, they were filled with power. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They received the Holy Ghost, you see. He gave them power to be witnesses unto them. And we find because of that, there was results. Many were saved, were they not? Because of that power that God gave them in their life. See, it's all about Him, folks. It's nothing about us. What He does for us to enable us to glorify Him in our life. And so we see here, we need to be a filled Christian, filled with God's power. We need to be a faithful Christian. We need to be a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Do it every day. Do it every day. Make an opportunity. Talk to somebody about the Lord every day. Every day in our life. We ought to go out. They did. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, they went out daily, publicly, from house to house, talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see because of their works and God directing them what happened. We see the church grew, did it not? Thousands were saved. And they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved, because of their obedience to God. Because they had power, they prayed, they were faithful, they were filled, and they were a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be effective, we have to be faithful. The faithfulness in soul winning is so important in our lives, folks. It really is. May God help us to be faithful. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. We know it's the Psalm of David. I want us to look at some requirements here for being a faithful soul winner. Faithful soul winner. We notice that David had committed sin. Adultery, murder, and all this. He comes before the Lord in chapter 51. And he comes before the Lord humble, and he asks him simply to forgive him. Okay? And we find here in chapter 51, beginning with verse number 7, we find here, he said this. He says, purge me. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, we know this hyssop is literally a branch that was used to take the blood and put on the doorpost of the children of Israel for the death angel to not go to their house. It's a type of blood involved here. Blood is involved here. And we know, first of all, that we had to be clean. We had to be clean to be a soul winner. We had to be clean. In other words, we have to ask God to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us. We had to be clean. God is not going to use a vessel that's not clean. Amen? He's not going to do that. We had to be clean. We have to recognize, before we go visiting, is there anything in my life that's going to hinder me when I go out here and talk to people about the Lord? If there is, I need to ask God to forgive me. I need to be cleansed. I need to be cleansed. So we see here, cleansing is so important. Purge me, he says in verse number 7. Now verse number 8. Once we are purged, he says in verse number 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. There's blessings coming after our cleansing. There's a cleansing, and then there's a blessing. There's a blessing comes after the cleansing, you see. And in verse number 9, we see, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. In other words, God blots out all our sins. You know, that's an amazing thing to me how God does that. When he forgives us, he blots out all my sins. Not just one of them, but all of them. All of my sins are blotted out. He does that for me. My, what a Savior he is, folks, to blot out all our sins in our lives, you see. But there's a blessing. There's a blotting out of sin. And in verse number 10, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We see here a new life. Give me a new life. You know, when you got saved, the day you got saved, the minute you got saved, you had a new life, did you not? You were cleansed. You felt different than you ever felt before in your life. I did. I felt clean because my sins were forgiven. My sins were forgiven. I had begun a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, cleanliness is first of all important in going out and witnessing people. We had to be clean. Cleanse. Our hearts need to be cleansed. Now look at verse number 11. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. We see communion here is very important. We need to be cleansed, and then communion with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, commune with him. Without the Holy Spirit's leading, without the Holy Spirit's guidance, without the Holy Spirit's teaching us, and giving us what to say, when we go out there in the world to talk to people about the Lord, we are lost. We can't do anything. It's all about him helping us. We have the helper within us as a born-again child of God, don't we? The Holy Spirit lives in me. He lives within you as a Christian. And we must realize that we need him. And we see this communion with him is very important when it comes to soul winning. Soul winning. So there's the cleanliness, first of all, David said. Then there's the communion here. God's presence with us. God's Spirit alive within us. And then verse number 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We see here the consistency, the protection by the Spirit. God is always with us to protect us. He's consistently in our lives. Always. And then we find in verse number 13, once we cleanse our hearts as God cleanses, once we have communion with the Holy Spirit, we're consistent with him and realize the protection of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 13, David says, he said, then, after all this takes place, then, he says, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto them. Then I can be a soul winner, folks. Then I can tell people about the Lord. Amen? When I'm cleansed, when I am in communion with God and recognize God's Spirit in me, I need him. Then, the psalmist says, then can I teach transgressors their sins. I can be a soul winner. You see, we find here compassion. Compassion in this verse 13. Compassion makes a difference. The book of Jude, verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. People know when we care. They know when we care. And we know, they know we care because we are compassionate to them. We love them. We present ourselves in a way. Effective witnessing saves people from God's judgment. Effective witnessing. And this witnessing must be done with compassion. Through compassion, you see. Soul winning. Faithfulness and soul winning is so important in our lives. Now notice the response here. He says in verse 13, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. We see the response to mercy here. God's mercy has been applied to David's life. And now here his response is, I'm ready to tell somebody about Jesus because of your mercy, God, upon me. We see here his mercy, you see. He says also the results. He says, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Sinners shall be converted. The results of David's commitment to God was that sinners would be saved. Sinners would be saved, you see. And likewise, it is to us. The more that we have been forgiven, the more we have been forgiven, the more desire we want to see others forgiven. The more we want to see others forgiven. You know, that's the way God works in our lives. He works in our lives this way. So we need to be effective. We see here the responsibilities of the lesson, if you please, on soul winning. How we need to be cleansed. We need to be committed. We need consistency. And then we see there's compassion. Compassion. This is what he had in his life. And may God help us to be more like him, that we might be the winner, soul winner that God wants us to be. So, is soul winning important? Yes, it is. It's the most important thing we can do in our life. It really is. The Bible tells us, you shall be witnesses unto me. Listen, it's still true today, folks. It's still true today. And may God help us. We need to be prepared. We need to study the Bible. We need to memorize scriptures. We need to pray for souls. We need to pray God to open doors for us to witness to people. And we need to go by the leadership of the Spirit of God, with the right motive in our hearts when we go. The right motive. And that's to share the gospel with people. Folks, it can happen. It can happen. We see that Andrew told Peter about Jesus. And 3 years later, we see Peter preaching the day of Pentecost, and thousands were saved. Amen? We see a Sunday school teacher went to a shoe store one day, and talked to a shoe salesman about the Lord. That young man was saved, Dwight Moody. He became one of the world's greatest evangelists because of that soul winner. That soul winner. Listen, you never know when you talk to people about God who you're talking to. how God can use them because of you. Because of you. It can happen again, folks. God is still saving. God is still saving. This is my prayer. I hope it's your prayer. Lord, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity, God, you give us, Lord, to tell people about you and how good you are to us and how you love the world. And you want everybody to be saved. God, help us to be faithful in this matter of soul winning. The greatest work on earth we can do as your children is to tell somebody else what you've done for us. So, Father, help us to be busy. Bless your people today. Encourage us, God. Give us the boldness we need, the courage we need. And God, that desire, Lord, to see people saved. God, we're living a dry time. But God, I know you're able. And God, help us to pray without ceasing. The harvest is truly white at the harvest. The laborers are so few. God, help us to be faithful. Father, bless now the next hour. Have your will and way in the service. Save that person that's lost. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.